Welcome to the Christchurch London podcast. This is a talk from our Sutton service. To find out about upcoming talks at each of our services, or to listen to other talks, please visit christchurchlondon.org.
Morning. Yeah, last time I spoke, everyone had masks on. Right now, we've got like half the room have masks on. That's great. So now, when I tell a joke, I know it's going to land or not. So please laugh. It'll help me out. You probably don't know, my name is Shininga, and as you've guessed, I'm married to the lovely Helen, who's hosting today. We have two wonderful daughters, Layla, who's 8, and Tammy, who's 3. And we have a new addition to the family. He's only 12 weeks old. It's little Buddy. Hey, look at him. He's cute, isn't he? That's Buddy. Two black men in the house now. Winning. But we're still outnumbered, it's good. At least I've got a mate now who's going to understand how difficult it's been. No, it hasn't been difficult. It's been wonderful, blessed, to live with 3 strong-willed, powerful women. Any girl dads? Any girl dads in the room? Yeah, you get it. Yeah, we understand each other. It's good. God is good. We're in the middle of a wonderful series at the moment called Living Hope. And it aims to help us rediscover our identity and purpose through the letter of 1 Peter. Joe and Catherine have done an amazing job over the last couple of weeks talking about how we are loved and how we are cared for. Today's talk is titled, We Are Called. And it's taken from the scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. So I used to be a youth pastor back in the day, as you can tell, I'm quite cool. It's the dreads, isn't it? It is, isn't it? I used to be a youth pastor, and every time we had scriptures up, I'd get someone to read it out, because it's really important that you read out scripture for yourself. You hear your own voice speaking it. There's something really powerful about hearing yourself speak the truth. So what I'm going to do is ask someone to read out the scripture. Do you feel nervous yet? No? No, I'm kidding. We're not going to do that. What we will do, though, is everybody is going to read it out together because there's power in unison, all right? So if we start now. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Amen. Right, let's pray. Father, thank you for today. We just thank you for this wonderful community. We thank you for Christ Church. I pray, Lord, that your word has free reign this morning, that I decrease and you increase, that your people have an ear to hear and a heart to receive your word, that they may leave here knowing your love for them. We invite Holy Spirit into this place right now, and we just say, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. This is an awesome scripture. I'm sure many of us are really familiar with this. If you grew up in church or you attended a youth group, any type of kind of church youth group, you'd be familiar with this. Any Soul Survivor alumni? Anyone been to Soul Survivor? Yeah, a few of us? Yeah, so you know about this scripture. You might even have the t-shirt. But let me give you a bit of context about this. So Peter, in his letter, is speaking to a dispersed and scattered people who during this time had experienced some persecution by the establishment. And so they've been forced out into different parts of the Roman Empire. And these small communities have been formed across the region of Asia Minor, where, unfortunately, they're still being marginalized and they're being alienated. And as a result, they start to feel a bit discouraged. And murmurs begin to happen. Murmurs start coming through out of these communities. So leaders like Peter and later on Paul begin to write to them to encourage them and remind them of where their identity lies. And it brings us to this scripture right here. I remember when I was a young youth worker. So this was when I was either still at uni or just left uni. I was at my previous church, and I was talking to this young man, this young person, and they asked me a question. They said, "Where's the church?" Which seems like a relatively, simple question. But I learned a valuable lesson that day, to think before you answer any teenager's question. Now, for those of you that work with teenagers or have teenagers, do we have any parents of teenagers in the room? Right, so you know what I'm talking about. Some of these questions sound simple, but some of them are a setup. Yeah, so you know what it is. So in my naivety, I just jumped in and I'm like, you know, oh, cool, yeah, the church is this, here's the email, here's the address, here's the website, you should know this. You know, at this point, let me just, as an aside, I should have known that something was up because his mom was a prominent member of the church and she was a very strong-willed, I should say, Nigerian lady. So I should have known something was up. And then there was this long pause and then he said, but doesn't the Bible say that church is not a building, but a group of people? And immediately my brain goes, oh no, I've been set up. So now I'm starting to fumble around trying to get the answer, trying to get my words back. And I was like, yes, but, and before I could finish the sentence, he then goes, well, if the church is not a building, then I'm going to go tell my mom that I don't need to go to church. And I'm going to say, you told me. Thanks, bye. And then he ran off. So now I'm left there thinking, I don't want to deal with this lady because she's scary. She was very scary. She was very prominent and she was very powerful. And she used to shout at her kids a lot. And I was like, I don't need this in my life right now. So I started to panic. And as he ran away, I just stood there and I had what we used to call a heavy revy. You guys familiar with these? Some of you are. A heavy revy is a heavy revelation. Right? It's a heavy one. Not a small revelation, a heavy revelation. And that revelation was never trust a teenager, ever. Don't do it. Okay? So I decided to dedicate my life to working with teenagers to help them focus and stop tricking adults. Let's get back to the scripture. Right. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Peter here is talking to this dispersed church and he's encouraging them. He's telling them four things that they need to remember about themselves. The first thing they need to remember is that they are a chosen people. Chosen meaning they are set apart, they're selected, they are necessary, and they are preferred. Remember, Peter's talking to these people that are suffering, they are persecuted. But what was encouraging to me when I read this was that it's so comforting to know that when you're in the depth of life beating you up, you are still a chosen people. When life just looks so heavy and so tough, it is good to remember that you are still a chosen people, that God chose you. He handpicked you to be on his team. And this too shall pass. This situation you're in right now, it shall pass. In Deuteronomy, we see that this language is used to describe Israel. And not because Israel is great, but solely because God loves them. And here, Peter is using it in the context of Jews and Gentiles alike. So he's telling us that no matter where you're from, what your nationality, what your background, your identity lies in Jesus Christ. And God chose you, not because of any special ability that you may have, not because of any particular bloodline that you might be from, but because he loves you. And that's it. If there's one thing you're going to take from this talk today, take that. God loves you. And remember that. We are the children of God because of his choosing. The King James translation uses the word chosen generation, but not as we would use it. He uses it in like this, instead of a group of people in a particular time or place, it's referring to a common identity of believers. And that's who we are. If you look around the room right now, it's cosmopolitan, multicultural. We have people from every country, every nation. God knows how many languages are in this room right now. But our common identity lies in Jesus Christ. And this reminded me of another group of people with a common identity that can be found in the amazing cinematic piece called Avengers Assemble. Have you guys watched it? It's amazing. If you haven't watched it, I promise you, you won't regret it. There's a scene where Captain America seems all but defeated. Thanos is standing there with his army behind him. Everybody else is lying down. You've got Iron Man is there looking pathetic. Captain America is there. What's the other one? Thor. Thor is very much defeated, lost his hammer, and he's just like, what is going on right now? And as Thanos prepares for a second wave of attacks, at this point, actually, do you know what? It's better if you watch it. Yeah, go on, play the video. Here we go. It sets the tone. Do we have any volume on that? It's coming. I believe in you, Anthony. I believe in you. Yes. Kind Go. We get the idea. Thank you, Anthony. Isn't that amazing? Sorry about the sound. It's like the Wi-Fi hasn't been paid for today. It's buffering. We went back to 1998, didn't we? But I encourage you to go and watch that film, because that scene is amazing. I remember watching that in the cinema, and the whole cinema went mental. Everybody started screaming, and I don't know if it's because I was in Streatham or Brixton, I don't know. But anyway, they went crazy. And it was good fun, because it is an amazing illustration of what Peter is getting at in this letter. He's telling the church, remember who you are. And as much as Captain America was defeated, he felt defeated over there, all of a sudden, when the rest of the Avengers started coming through those portals, he remembered who he was. And straight after that scene, they run straight across, go to Thanos, meet them in the middle, and they defeat them. The look on Thanos' face is priceless. You should watch it. You can tell I'm a fan of Marvel, aren't I? Don't worry about it. We'll watch it together. After he tells them that they are chosen. He goes on to let them know that they are a royal priesthood. Again, here Peter is referencing the nation of Israel, and specifically the tribe of Levi. And these are the Levites, who were designated priests at the time and were to serve the Lord. They also had a unique calling to holiness, to be separate from the norm. And like the Levites, we, being followers of Jesus, have been set apart and called for a specific purpose. We are priests. Let that sit. You are. You're a priest. Peter is saying we are both king and priest at the same time. Just as Jesus is both the King of Kings and our forever high priest, we are a king who takes territory and expands the kingdom of God with authority and influence. So this is talking about the jobs that you might be called into, right? The careers that you might be called into. We're called to go in there with authority and influence. And we are a priest who serves God with direct access and fellowship with him in the throne room of God. In the Old Testament, the Levites were the only ones who were allowed to access God, right? And what we're saying here is that now, under the new covenant, we are priests and we are kings because we sit under Jesus Christ. In other words, you have access and authority to enter into the presence of God as a priest and to rule and reign as a king. The third thing that he tells them is that they are to remember they are a holy nation. The church is a holy nation made up of people from every ethnicity. In the biblical narrative, our own personal identity is only fully understood and experienced with other human beings. This is why community is important. Naturally, I enjoy my own company, like most men. Can I get an amen? Who's brave enough? Okay, yeah, well done. They're sitting next to their wives like, what? I enjoy my own company. And when the first lockdown happened, I'm not going to lie, I enjoyed that. I was like, thank you, Jesus. Let me stay away from some people for a while. That's cool. But you get over it, and then you think, actually, I quite enjoy a bit of company. You know, I need some people around me. But it's great to be a part of this community here at Christchurch specifically, because you're part of a community of people with a shared belief, and that is really important to be around. It's different to when you play football with a group of guys who are believers, and then when you play football with a group of guys who aren't. And I'll tell you why. The difference is injuries. And what comes out of their mouth when an injury happened, right? And temperament as well. Most believers will be competitive. We want to play. We want to win. But we're not going to kill someone to do it. If you're an unbeliever, all bets are off. And I know this because I've played in a five-league side with dads. And I didn't enjoy it. And I haven't gone back since. But I've just signed up to the school dads league. I don't know why I did that. But I've just done it. But it's great to be part of this community. Because when you're in need, when you need prayer, when you need support, when you need lifting up, it's so good to know that you have other people on the end of the line. This is why the WhatsApp groups are amazing. If you're part of the WhatsApp groups, engage with them. If you're not part of it, sign up to them and stick your prayer requests in there. It's so important to know that you have other people lifting you up in prayer. When we were going through really deep, dark times in our lives, it was so good to know that all I had to do was just put a message in the WhatsApp group. Guys, please pray for us. Please pray for Tammy. Please pray for Layla. And you knew that there was at least one other person praying for you. For sure. There was definitely one other person praying for you, right? At the very minimum. But at its best, you've got 100 other people lifting you up in prayer. And that is amazing. That'll get you through. Last week, a couple of weeks ago, after Joe spoke, we asked her to come around to ours for lunch, and it was great, and we were sharing in fellowship, and we had a bit of chicken. It was awesome, right? But during that time, I was sitting there, and I was just in awe for a little bit, because I was like, wow, this is a moment. This is church, you know? Because here you have a simple guy from Zimbabwe, married to a girl from Iraq, sitting with our Nigerian friends, hanging out with our new homie from Liverpool. Just chopping it up and talking about different things. And I was like, wow, my grandmother was a Sunday school teacher. And this would have really warmed her heart, and she would have been so happy because she lived in an era of serious segregation in Southern Africa. So for her to see something like this happen and being a Christian and having read this scripture and believed all of this stuff and not having lived through it to see it through, this would have been an amazing moment for her. And I was like, wow, this is the church. This is what Peter was talking about. We are called to be a holy nation, to realize our identity in fellowshipping with each other. So for those of you guys that are out there that are a bit like me who don't like to really hang out and chill out with other people, let's do it. Let's make an effort this year to just fellowship more because it's important. It is a really difficult place to fully understand our identity in Christ when we're in isolation. God wants us to experience his love through people. He wants to spread his love through you to your neighbor. How many people know who their neighbor's names are? I kind of do. Half of them. The ones I like. And I'm working on it. Don't judge me. Okay? But that's a really important thing. I remember when we lived in our first flat, we only knew one of our neighbors. And, you know, we lived on a block of four, so we were like, we should know everybody. Why don't we know them? There's no reason to not know them. It is in becoming one nation, one priesthood, one people, that we bear the true image of God. This is our identity, to be a body of many different parts. Peter then ends this letter telling the church that they are God's special possession. The word special means surpassing what is common or usual, exceptional, distinct among others of a kind. Earlier, I showed you a picture of Buddy. Wasn't he cute? Maybe Anthony can bring that back up again. He's so cute. We want to give him the platform. There he is. Oh, Buddy. Before Buddy came to us, he was collected by my mother-in-law and then taken to a friend of ours who lives in Suffolk to spend a week training. For those of you that have puppies, you know that it doesn't take a week to train a puppy. Buddy was great. We appreciated it. So Buddy was with our friend for a week. And unfortunately, she had to treat him because he had a bad bout of worms. Plus, he was a puppy who wasn't potty trained, was away from his mom. So much like having a new baby, he was up every 2 hours, whining, barking, weeing everywhere, solids everywhere. And our lovely friend Gemma, who doesn't have children, didn't much appreciate this. So she was like, when are you coming to pick up your dog? So we picked him up and then we brought him home. And I'll tell you what, I've never seen a dog so loved than when my daughter saw this puppy. I mean, two very different reactions. Layla loved him. She was like, this is my baby. I'm the mummy. I'm going to take care of him. Very gentle. Tammy grabbed his face and was like, I love you. And the poor dog was just like, help me, somebody. But he was so loved. You could tell that regardless of kind of all the little puddles that he made, he's chewing through stuff right now. They still gave him cuddles. They gave him treats, toys. They played with him, took him for walks, all of that stuff. The girls chose to love him. And his job was just to love them back. And he's loving them back. He's become their prized possession over their daddy, who provides a roof over their head and food. That doesn't matter. The dog takes precedence. It's fine. We have been made unique, church. Separate from others, peculiar, distinctive, and special from God's point of view, because he's obtained, acquired, and purchased us with the blood of Jesus Christ. Peter ends it all by telling them the reason they are all of this, the reason they are these four things that we've just mentioned, is just so that we can declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Church, we've been called out of darkness. Amen. How many people here have been called out of dark, dark places? And God pulled us out. He brought us into His marvelous light. God pulled us out of imminent death. He pulled us out of deep depression, suffocating anxiety. He pulled us out. He loved us so much, He said, I'm not going to leave you there. His word says He will never leave nor forsake us. And He hasn't. And He won't. He is so good. He is so, so good. God loves you. Remember that. God loves you. Every day that you wake up, that you're able to breathe. This is, a friend of mine said, there's a thing called the heart test. And the heart test is very simple. You wake up every morning, you put your hand over your chest, and if your heart is still beating, God's not done with you yet. Amen. And you do that every morning, and then you attack the day. You attack the day, attack the week. And it's that simple. God loves you so much. This is why you're here right now. This is why you're doing what you're doing. You are where you are. There is a reason. God wants you to do something. He's brought you out of that darkness into His light so we can bring others into that light. Amen. God is so good. Can I ask the band to just come up quickly? This talk is titled, We Are Called. In the Bible, the word call is used most often to refer to God's initiative to bring people to Christ and to participate in His redemptive work in the world. That's why we're here, to participate in His redemptive work in the world. The world is a very dark place, especially right now. And I remember having a conversation with a friend of mine, and I said, man, what would this world look like if there weren't any Christians? And he was just like, I don't want to imagine that, because I don't like horror films. I think it'll be chaos and it'll be a horror film. And I said, yeah, it probably would. The children of the light are holding this world up. This call to participate in this redemptive work, it's a call to salvation. It's a call to a restored relationship with God and with other people and with the world around us. You might be here right now thinking, do you know what? I'm not sure about all of this. This sounds great. This sounds awesome. But I just don't know if I'm called. I don't think I'm worthy of all of this. You don't know what I've been through. How? How can God call me? How can God love me knowing what I've been through, knowing what I've done? Well, the amazing thing about the God that we serve is that the four things Peter covers in this scripture, or that he mentions, are not predicated on what work we can do or how good we are. They are predicated on us simply accepting Jesus Christ into our lives as our personal Lord and Savior. And by doing so, you enter into the community of the called out ones. And that is this community. The Bible simply says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and is your personal Lord and Savior, and you will be saved. So I'd like to pray for you right now, if that's okay. If I could ask you to just stand to your feet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for today. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we just desire to draw closer to you, because you've promised us that you would draw closer to us. Father, we thank you for your precious promises, promises of comfort, promises of strength. We thank you for bringing us out of dark places and into your marvelous light. Lord, we just pray that you show us to everlasting life. Holy Spirit, help us on our faith journey, that we are not overwhelmed and fall to fear. Father, we repent of anything that comes between us. Anything that comes between you and us. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We pray for a renewed focus, that you help us stay on your path of righteousness. Father, I just want to pray for anyone in here right now who is still dealing with these demons, dealing with the concept of being accepted by you. I just want to pray for people who are struggling with their identity in you and in Christ. I lift them up right now and I cover them with the blood of Jesus. And I thank you for their lives. Father, we just intercede on their behalf. And we say, have your way in their life. Work a miracle in them. Do a new thing in them. Let them leave this place different. We just thank you. We glorify you. And we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.